Do you want to learn how we can make warp drives in the next 50 years? Please listen to this episode. Hey everyone, this is Zane Ross from the Upstarts Podcast. I want to share today my crazy theory about AI revolutionizing the energy grid. And I want to start by prefacing this with, this is what I'm learning about the grid, how AI can help, and I just want to share a little bit about my own projects, because of course I don't have my own answers. I just got out of high school, right, and I'm getting into computer science in the undergrad. However, I believe it's my duty to share with you what I'm doing with my projects, and if I can be an example, I hope, or if I can share with you the stories, that's what this show is about. Is I want to share with you the stories about how people can use the data, the information, and then use it in a way that serves them, in a way that can completely change their lives. That's what this show is for, and then we can leave it up to history what the actual outcomes are. But I believe I have something here special to share with you, because I was just thinking about this as I was driving to my haircut this morning, but intelligence, the power to understand knowledge. Look, I was in a car. I'm driving down the road. I've been to this place so many times, I'm barely even thinking about it. However, think about it. I'm in a car. You know the feeling where you're like, you've gone somewhere, you've been so many times, you feel like you could drive there blindfolded. What does that even mean? Like, how can you use so little of your brain power, get the output of that? It's controlling your arms, your legs, what you're doing with your body, and then the actual thing that you're doing, you're moving miles per hour, multiple miles per hour, per second. It's changing, it can move your whole life. And the reason you're doing that is because someone else came along, they used their intelligence to build that car, to automate an entire process of just moving that far that would have taken so much more energy otherwise. So many more animals. You go back to history, people have to use horse and carts and buggies and have all these, you know, these big fat steam engines to move anywhere. Now we can do it with these little, you know, efficient fuel cars. I got some Teslas in my neighborhood. Somebody got a new Tesla, good for them. And then it frees up so much my thought space to think about other things while I'm driving. And that's just another vehicle that I think AI can be. And I love exploring that kind of creativity with you. So here's my crazy theory. I'm going to get into the next section. This is just a little bit of an introduction. Please stick with me. You're listening to the Upstarts Podcast with Zane Ross. Welcome back to the Upstarts Podcast, everybody. Thank you for sticking around this long. I'm burning out here today in Massachusetts. However, that does not mean this episode is not worth your time. I'm going to do this. I'm in a hurry, but it doesn't matter. Here's what's going on. Predictive maintenance. You need to look up this term about AI and energy, because I'm not the only person talking about this. But what it is essentially is, right now, your power grid, the energy that you're using, I don't care if you're in a solar, if you have your own solar system, if you have your own, if you're just a fossil fuel burner like myself. The fact of the matter is, the electric grid as we know it today in America, at least, I don't know about anyone else in other countries, however, in America, it's all about supply and demand, right? This is not just a capitalist thing. In science, in how the electric grid works today, basically, when you have the right supply and the right demand, and they're in equilibrium, the system's good, right? You get the amount of energy you need, you pay for it, you're all right. What happens is, the problems come up when there's too much supply or when there's too much demand, when there's an imbalance. When there's an imbalance in favor of supply, we just waste money, right? That's when, you know, that's why one of the pushes of AI is to use that for, because when you have, if you can minimize the times when supply is in front of demand, you're going to save customers money. You're going to make it more efficient. You're going to make the system more long-term, basically. And the whole planet is depending on us to make our systems for energy long-term. If you can hear the birds behind me and all this nature, it's like we're in charge of this planet. It's our planet. Number two is when the imbalance is in favor of demand. When there's too much demand, right? And we've all known what that can look like. Power outage, basically. And that's the other reason why we need to have predictive maintenance with AI. Because then, of course, you want to make the system more reliable. When there's more energy, when there's more demand be needed, that's when the more supply should come in, and vice versa. Less supply of energy should be generated for when there's less demand. You know, for example, in a house that has solar systems, for solar panels, for example, is making its, you know, it's on a hot day like here in you know, July in Massachusetts, the sun is out. All these solar people, all these panels are going full blast. It's the middle of the day. They're not going to need so much energy. And that's the basic theory of it, in plain terms, of why we need predictive maintenance. How does AI help us get there? I've been working on this project, right? You got to look up, if you're interested in working on this, please look up the name E. Woodbury on GitHub. GitHub. He has a great project for data science. It's not really for beginners, so I wouldn't recommend it if you're just starting out. You're going to feel like you're just going through code and getting frustrated with all the Python. However, I will pick this up in the next section about why this, what I'm learning about with energy is important and how it can affect you. Please listen to the episode's podcast with Zane Rossum. Oh, you're still here? Thank you for keeping on with me. This is the Upstarts Podcast. Now, I want to keep my sources with me, so I had to quickly look up a couple of the articles that I read. Of course, I want to bring on that spirit of like keeping your sources ready. You know, if I'm going to talk about stuff that's in the future and it's not true, I should at least have my sources to tell you I'm not just making this stuff up. I like to bring that spirit more to just not even research, but how we conduct, you know, regular conversations, like having those sources ready. So please give me a second. I'm just gonna look up, and these articles that you can look up and see a lot of the research that maybe I cite something here. You can please look these up on your own, and these will be on that GitHub project by E. Woodbury on GitHub. E. Woodbury, if you're listening to the show, thank you very much. He's currently actually an undergrad data scientist at UC Berkeley, so Gotta give props to him for open sourcing this type of project. A couple of places to look for great data science stuff: ELP.com, Masters in Data Science, and then an actual company called AutoGrid. Now, I gave you the theory of like how this is gonna work, like the supply and demand thing. That's how it actually improves the grid. I'm sorry, I don't have a real application what exactly we could do yet, but I will say this, and this is something that I've ever since I started thinking about AI, I've always thought about. We have more devices connected today, smart meters, smart homes, than we've ever had in the world at any other point in history. So there's so much more data ever before, and so much more connected data, right? And AI, that's the way that we make human-centered AI, from my own perspective, right, is that we take all, that's human consciousness. That's people having their dinner parties. That's people over there in their homes, you know, hosting a barbecue. They're hosting, you know, their kids are coming over for the holiday break. They're staying indoors and staying safe during a huge storm. We just had a hurricane touch down in Louisiana. People need energy. People need it more than ever before, and it's a good thing. It's people using more energy leads to more productive lives. We all know this. When that data is on the internet, this is what we call the industrial internet. This is an actual term where you're seeing the rise of industrial systems managed by people's data on the web. And AI taking care of that conscious web, that conscious data, using that to form its consciousness, I believe that's the form of human-centered AI that could eventually please. This could take our society to a whole different level of innovation and creativity that could surpass anything. I was just reading a book by Ed Catmull called Creativity Inc. And yeah, when we can free up that kind of, when we can free up people's time to do those type of creative thinking. That's what AI really is all about. And so I want to share with you. Now, I really don't have the application. I've been working on it. You'll see me talk a lot about more about this. I'm going to commit to that right here. But I do have four areas. And please, if you have ideas, please take this info. Please take the GitHub thing if you're interested in doing data science for energy, for other things with machine learning. There's so many good applications out there, healthcare, in language processing, in material science, in bioinformatics, Greenspan, I'm telling you. But enough with all that highfalutin. That's one of my favorite words now, highfalutin. I think it's a pretty sophisticated word. But anyway, four areas where machine learning can help the grid. Let's go. The first one, I want you to imagine the grid becoming a CPU, essentially. And that might be a bad analogy, but what I mean is, it all centers around the grid. How machine learning helps the grid, it all centers around the factory. So what are the inputs into the factory and what are the outputs? The inputs are going to be where the energy is made, right? So you have supply and demand. Machine learning, through predictive maintenance, can get a pretty good handle, I would say. I've been making these graphs and there's not a lot of overfitting from the way I've been doing it, or the way that E. Woodbury does it, and I've been following that along. So it's a good sign that AI can predict where all the different sources of energy are coming from, because one of the challenges is trying to integrate the different types of energy, because in our current system, when there's too much energy, you basically just send it out anyway. You can't really account for when the other sources of, you know, solar energy, wind energy come in. And then you waste the energy and you have to sell it back in the system. It's not as efficient as it could be. In a better world, you would anticipate those things. So that's the first area. How much energy is going to come in from the fossil fuels, from the solar, from the wind energy, excuse me. And the great thing is you can also integrate other forms of data science into what you're already looking at with trends in the actual data consumption itself. So you can look at what weather patterns are going on, so you can anticipate then how much we're going to get from solar this year, how much energy we're going to get from wind. And it can get very detailed too, like at certain times of day detailed. We have really good smart readers now. So, you know, every hour of every day, almost every 15 minutes now, there are some readers that can do that. So you can look at the time interval is also very important. So you can look at how much energy we're going to produce from, say, solar at this time of the day in this area, in this part of the country, and then therefore maybe decrease the amount of fossil fuels that you're sending into the factory, and then still be able to power the whole system. So that's the first area. That's where the inputs into the factory go. The second area is when you're actually sending it out, right? So the first part is sending it out. And there's three areas of machine learning that can help out the grid. And they're all in the output. But there's different types of output. There's machine learning that can help out the grid, the output of energy from the grid, in terms of just how, like, directing it, you know? The whole, the network, the traffic, like, you look at Massachusetts, we got a lot of roads here, okay? It can be, and it can get, like confusing, right? Think of any highway system, any road system. You drive through Boston, man, everyone tells me, like, it's like an old city, all the roads are all over the place. That's how, like, energy is. So one thing is just helping, using machine learning to help us guide the energy through the different networks of cables, and you got transformers and AC, AC. I'm drawing a blank here, but that's just one area, and to be honest, that's all I can really say about it. But there are great research papers you can look up if you look more into it. Machine learning in the grid, and yeah, there are great graphs as well. The second and third areas of machine learning that can help out the grid are basically when you're going to homes now. So Yeah, and it goes into two categories. There's the homes that are using only fossil fuels, only they don't have their own solar panels. And then there are those that do have their own solar panels. So that's called demand and supply energy output, and then only demand output. So the homes that are totally reliant upon fossil fuels, it's going to be based on completely demand. So just the smart readers, the AI learns, it can predict when the houses are going to need more or less of the energy. And then when it's more, it'll send it. And when it's not, it'll lay off a little bit. And that's just basically, you know, predictive maintenance as a whole, just AI being able to see those patterns that humans typically cannot. And then with the solar homes, it's pretty interesting because they can sometimes generate their own supply of energy. So you sometimes have to, those homes are interesting because sometimes AI can also take back energy from them, because say if the home is producing energy at a time when it doesn't need it, the AI can take that energy from the home, I believe, and take it back to the grid. And so those people don't have to end up paying as much. And then when they do have the need for it, the AI can just help send that energy back. So, but it was really old, it was already stuff that was there for them. So it ends up saving them money. And it's still a reliable system. So it's a two-way street communication. And that's it. Thank you for that. That is the four areas that I believe machine learning, and not only what I believe, but what the articles say, what these data science are working on. A lot more areas are available for data science. Huge investments by VCs. And please check out that GitHub project. Try it out if you're comfortable with the Python. Otherwise, you're gonna learn a lot just from the articles and the links. I know I did. And then of course the whole vision of AI and the warp drive conductors. Do you believe that we could truly, with that kind of, if we could actually have that kind of productive energy output, just what kind of innovation we could have? I guess that was what I was referring to in the beginning when I said warp drives, because we could actually fuel that kind of future when we have so much sustainable energy, clean, reliable, and long term. It's not going to pollute the planet. We could do whatever we want. We could actually have that. Like, you think going to Mars is a big vision. I'm saying we can have enough energy to say, maybe build a warp drive. I say, how about we go across the galaxy, man? So, that is it for this episode. Of course, this is a work in progress. I wish I could have more details for you. But, of course, this is only one step in the right direction. Thank you for coming with me on this journey. This has been Zane Ross with the Upstarts Podcast. If you have any thoughts, or please, give me whatever thoughts that you have on the Apple reviews, on Apple Podcasts. Give me some voice messages on Anchor. I love interacting with you guys. Someone may ask, why does Zane love doing this podcast? Really, I really do enjoy it, even if it gets me in trouble sometimes. So, with that, for one last time, thank you for listening. I'll see you guys all next episode. God bless. This has been Zane Raza. Thank you very much for listening.